This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Two similar products designed to resurrect the SMP model in HPC, plus a look at the potential impact of cloud on SCO9. This is HPC Wire Soundbite for November 6, 2009, available every Friday on iTunes. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and as always, we have with us Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360. So, Addison, are you as busy as I am in the lead-up to the supercomputing show?
I'll tell you what, Michael, I'm swamped. People are going to be wondering why I'm spending all my time on a podcast instead of doing more work. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm swamped as well. I don't know about you, Addison, but it seems to me like more vendors are spilling their big HPC news before the supercomputing show rather than at the show itself, which is, I think, what it used to be. Do you get that impression, too?
I do, and not only that, I think it's a good idea. As much as it makes a little more work for you in the head up to the show, by the time we get into supercomputing during the show, it's really difficult to follow all the press releases that are coming out. I think the smarter marketing strategy is what we're seeing a lot of people do, announcing a week or 2 weeks before the show, don't you think?
Yeah, I do think that. In fact, I think like you said, it's better for them. Plus, they get to, you know, basically show the products they've been announcing over the past week or two at the show, so they don't have to sort of get the attention right there. They've already got people's attention and said, this is what we've been talking about for the last week. So I think it is a good idea, and I think we'll see more of that. Now, this week,
yeah,
of course...
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you get people's attention with the press release up front, then you show it at the show, and then you get kind of a dead week with Thanksgiving after, but you get to do the follow-ups in December to close out the year. And so, you know, we were looking at some of the news coming out this week. You were picking out a theme of some that were kind of similar, huh?
Yeah, they were suspiciously similar, I'd say. ScaleMP, which is a well-known vendor in the HPC arena, they announced their SMP in the cloud product. But this is a day after that Three Leaf Systems announced their SMP, virtual SMP product as well. I gotta think those two things were not coincidental, but it was interesting to see the two similar offerings happening once together. And of course, Three Leaf is new. They were at the SCO8 show last year, and they were just sort of getting ready and introducing their concept to users and customers. But this is the week they basically launched, and it's quite interesting. What they've come out with is a basically a virtual shared memory system type platform where they're taking x86 based server nodes. They plug in their custom ASIC, and they have some software on top of that, and you put all these servers together, and you can make shared memory SMP machines out of these large server farms, which is very similar to what ScaleMP announced the following day.
You know, I think it's not a coincidence that these launches got in on top of each other. Not only is it before supercomputing, which is the right time to do it regardless, but, you know, I've done competitive analysis back when I used to work on the vendor side, and obviously part of your job is to try to be aware of when the other guy's announcement is going to be and try to muddy things up a little bit when you can. Although I will say, I think that while the goal of these two products is the same, eventually they're going to the same place. They're going there in two very different directions. The technologies are actually fairly different, although they have similar goals.
Right, exactly. I think, especially in talking to the Three Leaf folks, they've gone a different direction. ScaleMP, of course, it's done in software, and basically you plug in the firmware to the servers, and now in their new product, you actually boot that software from another server into the network. But it's all software for ScaleMP. And Three Leaf, they've got their custom ASIC that you plug into the servers, and you have to make, you know, OEMs or somebody has to make these special servers with that ASIC inside connected to, you know, an x86 fabric, and then they have software on top of that that does the dynamic part of making these SMP machines.
Right. One is implemented by the OEM, and the other can be implemented by the end user, I think is the fundamental difference, right? The Three Leaf solution, they have to go to the server vendor and get that chip integrated onto the board, which is a much more integrated solution when they do it, but you know, is a bigger commitment from the OEM side.
Right. And but their claim is they did that because they want true hardware performance out of what they're doing, and their claim is you can't get that in software. So they're saying if you just do it basically via the OS in software, that there's certain inefficiencies there that you're not going to get that kind of memory coherence performance you're going to get if you plug in that ASIC. So they're actually going after the high-end SMP machines in a much more direct way. And in fact, Freeleaf is not just about HPC, where ScaleMP is very focused on our market. Yep. Freeleaf is looking at HPC as just one of the many markets that they think that these SMP, virtual SMP machines can play in.
That's right. And although I think it's a significant one, I think there are some significant opportunities for both of these companies. Now, ScaleMP has been around for a while and, you know, has been slowly chipping away at this notion of creating these virtual SMPs out of clusters. I think in either case, what you've got is they're looking for these application areas that are going to do better in a shared memory type of environment than they are in a distributed memory type of environment. Essentially, what they're trying to do is make steak out of hamburger, right? You take stuff that's already cut up and try to turn it back into, you know, and it's not to say that people don't like hamburgers, but sometimes you want steak. And, you know, if you do, this allows you to buy hamburger and make steak out of it, which is cheaper. So, you know, I get what they're both trying to do. You know, ScaleMP's advantage is it's going to be something that the user can implement on a selective basis, whereas Freeleaf is saying, if you're going to try to create an SMP out of distributed memory, then it all comes down to latency, and the latency is going to be better if you're on chips. And so, you know, they're each compelling arguments for different approaches to the same goal.
Right. I think they've each got a story there that I think they can use, and maybe they'll appeal to different markets. But it's interesting to see that this technology has sort of come together, and people are interested in SMPs in HPC, as we've said on different occasions, because it's just an easier technology to deal with from the programmer's point of view. It seems like a more powerful model for a lot of HPC applications that are out there.
You know, where I see the biggest potential for this is an area we've talked about before, is down in this, whether you call it a personal supercomputer or technical workstation arena, where you've got a small number of nodes and you've got people who are adopting HPC technology for the first time. I think the ability to present that smaller node count system as an SMP instead of a cluster might help people get into scalable HPC computing for the first time. If you get into the very scalable areas, there you're dealing with experienced MPI programmers regardless. But to be able to take that 16 or 32 node machine, or I should say 16 or 32 core machine, and say, here's an SMP implementation for you as you transition from a workstation into scalable technical computing, I see a big opportunity there.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right. And both of these implementations actually scale up to 16 nodes, so that would cover most of these sort of mini clusters that we're starting to see. And in fact, ScaleMP actually had another announcement that went along with their SMP in the cloud product, and the ability to make basically a switchless mini cluster from like four nodes, which is going to fit very well into like something like Cray's CX1, the low configuration version of the CX1 that they're offering.
That's the CX1 LC.
Yeah, the CX1 LC. That's a four node configuration. Right now, it needs an InfiniBand switch. But this new thing they've introduced doesn't need a switch. You just cable it up, and then the software basically does the routing. So, like you said, that's a situation where you introduce somebody moving up from a workstation, and all of a sudden they've got basically another workstation in the same programming environment they had before. It's just much bigger instead of having to deal with now a cluster.
I think that's the right way to think about it. Although you pointed out that ScaleMP is kind of marketing this around the notion of cloud, because it's virtual SMPs, and you know, this is one of the areas where we're starting to see cloud working its way again into the marketing for SC09. What do you think about cloud with respect to the ScaleMP or even the Freeleaf product?
Well, yeah, ScaleMP definitely did try and brand this as a cloud enabling technology, and I can see the point. It's a dynamic product that virtualizes the hardware, so it ties into that sort of virtual infrastructure that's offered, and it it's, you know, you can basically do these cutting and slicing and dicing the SMPs and the servers in a very dynamic way. So it, again, it ties into basically on-demand, you know, workload management. Threeleaf didn't really bring in the cloud marketing into it, although they did call it a dynamic data center, which basically alludes to the same sort of cloud infrastructure. So they're both sort of positioning themselves as something that can be, you know, pushed out to a large server farm and used as a way to abstract that server farm into something very different. So I think in that sense, they both tie into sort of this idea of cloud infrastructure that can be manipulated at a level underneath the user and presented with something, you know, much simpler to use.
I don't know. I think the use of the term cloud with respect to ScaleMP is a little bit of a reach. I mean, they're saying it's cloud by virtue of the fact that it's virtualization, essentially. And I think you want to avoid getting overexcited about the term cloud. Not everything that's virtualization is going to be cloud. And this is something that we took a shot at putting some definitions onto in defining the opportunity in cloud in a piece that Michael HPC Wire included in its cloud supplement that went out. That's, I think, on HPC Wire's homepage now, isn't it?
Right. Thanks for noticing that. Yeah, we had a special supplement this week on sort of where the state of the art is in cloud computing and HPC, and we had a lot of interesting articles on how this has evolved from the grid model into cloud computing and sort of where it's going. And of course, there's the article from Intersect 360 that was very enlightening as well. And yeah,
the point is that I think you know. What we were trying to put in there is that you don't want to be overly excited about calling everything cloud. Cloud is essentially an access model for how you're going to get to these resources. And I think if you start calling everything that's virtualization or everything that's utility computing, calling it cloud, that you're going to start getting into trouble where the term gets overhyped, like grid started getting overhyped in the earlier days of grid, back in the late 90s into 2000, 2001, people were calling everything a grid, and ultimately it did that term a disservice.
Yeah, I see that too. I guess I kind of go back and forth here, and I sort of blogged about this in the sense that cloud is sort of becoming all-encompassing, and if it is, then we sort of have to bring in all the pieces, and it's okay to say this is, I guess it's not okay to say this is cloud technology, but it's all cloud-enabling technology, or here's how it fits into the cloud ecosystem.
Well, yeah, you want to be careful with this where you can, clearly cloud is something people want to talk about, right? We were at HPC on Wall Street, and all the users were talking about cloud. And at ISC before that, all the users were talking about cloud. The trick is going to be the same as it was with grid, is you need to talk about, for something like this, how your product can be used in cloud environments. But I think you don't want to overstretch to where you completely define your product in the context of cloud, unless it really is a cloud product. You get into the things from platform and Univa UD where, you know, all right, these are cloud products.
Right, right.
To take something like ScaleMP, I get that it can be helpful as a cloud enabler when you're trying to serve these cycles out to somebody and you don't know what form that job is going to take. Sometimes you want the SMP, sometimes you don't. In that case, it can help as a cloud enabler, but fundamentally, I don't think either the ScaleMP product or the Threeleaf product is in of itself a cloud product. I think it creates SMPs out of clusters, and that's a good thing for some people, but to call it a cloud product, I think, is a reach.
Yeah, I think I would generally agree with that. And certainly, you know, both these products we saw, they make, you know, servers into 16-node machines. Well, 16 nodes doesn't make a cloud. I think most people would probably agree with that. But yeah, I think I generally agree that, you know, you've got to say this is a cloud enabling technology, but it's not a cloud technology in the sense that it's managing a cloud, like you say, the platforms and the Univ UDs do.
Right. So, well, I mean, the key distinguishing factor in cloud, if you ask us, is that you're accessing some portion of your IT infrastructure through the internet or an internet like an intranet interface. And that level of abstraction is the fundamental thing that defines a cloud. Now, that could be accessing compute cycles. It could be accessing data. It could be accessing even visualization. There are different aspects to cloud, and it could be a private cloud, or it could be a public cloud, or it could be a hybrid cloud, depending on that mix of internet versus intranet. And that's where you see the platforms and UniverUD and a couple of other guys coming out with solutions for managing that aspect. That, I think, is fundamentally where you're going to see these are the cloud technologies.
Right, right. And the other aspect, of course, that I think everybody sort of agrees on is that you can access these internet or intranet technologies in an on-demand or utility basis. So it's sort of a pay-as-you-go model, and that's sort of the second distinguishing feature. But yeah, I generally agree with what you're saying. I think it's up to the marketing guys on how they want to do it. I mean, that's sort of above my pay grade, so I just have to report on what they're trying to do and what they're trying to say. But yeah,
you said two different things there again, Mike. So here's what we get into as analysts, is it's really hard to start writing down these definitions. You can wave your hands at it and say we all kind of know what we mean, but when you try to define it, you got to be very specific. And you said utility and you said on demand, and those are two different things. The on demand portion I agree with. It's got to be there when you need it. Utility refers to how you pay for it, and there are a lot of different payment schemes that can apply to cloud computing. It's not necessarily a utility payment scheme for cloud. That's one of them, and it's probably a common one. But you look at software as a service, it's not necessarily utility computing, but it is a big portion of cloud.
Right, right. Yeah, we started getting into the semantics of it, but that's true. There's
That's what they pay us the big bucks for, Michael, is getting into the semantics of it. If we're going to start counting this stuff, we got to define what it is we're counting.
Yeah, there's definitely different payment models that are going to go into this, and I think we're gonna start to see those, especially with, you know, like you said, software as a service. The payment models can become quite interesting and quite creative. I think that's one of the areas that we're going to see exploited with cloud computing.
Well, let's talk about the meta issue here about people embedding cloud into their marketing messages. We already said, you know, we went to ISC in June. Cloud was a big theme. We went to a user-specific conference with HPC on Wall Street, and cloud was an absolutely dominant theme. Here we are coming up on supercomputing. You know, is cloud going to be a dominant theme this year, do you think? And if so, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think it's up to the vendors and what they announce and what they present there. As far as the conference itself, the way it's organized, it's not a cloud computing conference. It's all about, you know, biocomputing and 3D internet and a couple of other minor themes. So the people that organized this conference, I don't think gave a whole lot of thought to cloud computing. But the vendors that are going to be there probably have given quite a bit more thought. And whatever messaging they're coming with, I think will determine, you know, the cloud stories there. And I, you know, just from the little I've seen in the previews and the people I've talked to, there is going to be a definite cloud computing theme going throughout this this conference.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a bunch of announcements around cloud. You're right, the conference agenda didn't line up that much around cloud in terms of BOFs or topics or tutorials. I think part of the reason for that difference with some of the other conferences we've been to is that the supercomputing conference does skew a little bit heavy towards some of the very large research labs in academia and government, which in my mind are kind of the furthest away from some of the more commercial implementations of cloud, especially when you compare it to something like an HPC on Wall Street. So if you do get cloud discussed, it might be in an academic sense. Now, those guys, on the other hand, were very grid aware 10 years ago. So it's interesting in that cloud is kind of an evolution of those same utility and virtualization technologies that we saw in grid, but cloud has definitely a more commercial bent to it than grid had, I think.
Yeah, and that's a good point too, with, you know, the big supercomputing systems versus sort of the commercial HPC that's going on. You do see a lot of that not just at SC, but at ISC as well. And there is that dichotomy that all sort of occurs, that, you know, we sort of get two sides to the HPC world, And you're right, cloud doesn't really play into the elite supercomputing crowd at this point. So in that
not yet. They're all aware of it, but you know, we've gotten feedback from academia that they're not looking at cloud right now, and the commercial side is, government's kind of in between.
Right. Well, we just saw that announcement that, that we reported on a few weeks ago about, you know, the DOE labs are going to start studying cloud environments too. So I think they are starting to look at it as something that can be used in government and academia. But yeah, it's not as advanced as the folks in the commercial world are thinking about.
Hey, speaking of announcements, Michael, and you know, we didn't even talk about this in advance, but it seems like we're having a bunch of quarterly announcements come out that are still supporting this notion that the economy might be coming back a little bit. A few vendors are saying they did better than they thought they were going to do.
Yeah, I think, you know, from just some of the quarterly reports we've seen, it seems like they are doing a little better. I mean, IT in general has led a little bit, has been doing better than some of the other sectors in the economy, so that's not too surprising. And certainly HPC within the IT sector does even a little better than the general sector, so it's not surprising to see some of these better results. SGI came out yesterday, and they still lost money, but that's not really news anymore. But most of them are looking pretty good. I mean, we saw Qlogic Mellanox and Voltaire come out with pretty good results.
Sure. Some of them are doing well. You know, there's probably still going to be caution through the end of the year, but you know, maybe that means we can start seeing purchase cycles speed up again a little bit in 2010. A lot of the comeback is just going to be from the purchasing cycle going from 3 months back down to 2 months, right? And you get that buildup of some of that backlog pulls in.
Right. I think, my general impression is everybody is doing a little better. I guess the exhibitor floor is full at SC and everybody's there, so everybody was at least able to afford to show up. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, we're going to be there in full force. And I'll tell you what, if we were busy this week, Michael, I guarantee you we're going to be busy next week and the week after that.
Yeah, it's a real fire hose of announcements and people trying to get your attention. I know you're going through the same thing, too. And it's an exhilarating experience.
And we also help our clients with some of their announcements and other materials that they want, white papers and the like, that all need to be done prior to supercomputing. So I know for a fact there's a lot coming in the next 2 weeks.
Yep, definitely.
So 1 week from today, Michael, will be our last podcast prior to supercomputing. It'll be our pre-show. And then during supercomputing, we'll have a series of special podcasts to cover the show.
Right, that'll be fun. We'll both be on site there and kind of both be able to do sort of on-the-spot reporting and analysis, and then we'll see how that goes. It's always a lot of fun, though.
Right. All right, so one more big pre-show from our home offices next week. Michael, I look forward to talking to you then.
Me too, Addison. We'll talk to you then.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.